Grandpapa?
Yes, my dear.
Where are we?
I do not know. It looks like some type of meeting house.
Look at those candles.
I've never seen any candles quite like that.
I wonder how they got all the way up there.
Excellent question, my dear.
Is this like some kind of church?
A church? Well, let me find out. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Well, some of them are in church. I don't think it's a Baptist church, from what I heard.
Grandpapa, what's he playing on?
A phone.
What's a phone?
This is how we communicate by call, text, FaceTime, and email. And you can also go online and look up things, and you can play games on it.
What happened to your britches, boy?
These are my britches.
Those are your britches. Oh, my. Never seen anything quite like that. Well, son, tell me. I think something has happened to us, don't you?
Yeah, what happened, though?
I think we've been transported into the future. Young man, are we still in the colony of North Carolina?
No, we're in the state of North Carolina.
Is it still the 18th century?
No.
What year is this, then?
2018.
2018? And son, how many states are there?
50 in the United States of America.
The United States of America. I think this is big. It's really something.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think we ought to do?
Well, it looks like they don't have a preacher. I know what you should do, Grandpapa.
What's that?
You should go up here and preach.
Okay. And what should I preach about?
I know what you can preach about.
What's that?
Freedom. You always tell me about freedom.
Then freedom it is. That is so wonderful. And please, ladies and gentlemen, excuse my remiss. I did not introduce myself. I am Jebediah Merrill at your service. This is my beautiful granddaughter, Elizabeth, and this young man of the future, I don't know
Parker.
Your name. Parker! What a fine young man. I hope maybe one day I could have a grandson quite like you. So I see over here we have some of the most prosperous women of the church. Well, of course you are, aren't you? You are here at this pew of prominence. I know how expensive these pews are. Those up in the loft can only imagine about sitting in a place like this. A place of nobility and a place. This is a wonderful meeting house, is it not? I told you my name is Jebediah Merrill. No doubt you have heard of my cousin, Benjamin Merrill, the late Benjamin Merrill, God rest his soul. Benjamin Merrill, who stood up for freedom. Benjamin Merrill, who became one of the first martyrs for freedom, who lived in this area. Of course, he was one of the founders of the great Jersey Baptist Church. You know of Jersey, don't you? And my friend John Gano, the preacher at Jersey. Fine man, Gano, by the way. If you talk to him very much, he will be quick to tell you that he baptized General George Washington. He remembers it very well. It appears General Washington doesn't seem to recall it, but that's another about it. You just ask the wonderful congregation out at Jersey, they will tell you. But Reverend Gano is without a doubt, it was documented that he was one of the courageous chaplains in the American Revolution, and he served many a day with the great General Washington. And it was Reverend Gano who came to Jersey and who started preaching what Baptists believe. And Baptists, as you know, believe in freedom. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is not a Baptist church, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, Baptists believe in freedom. It was Benjamin Merrill, you're getting better. It is Benjamin Merrill who believed in freedom. And he saw the abuses that were taking place all around him, the excessive and the oppressive taxation that was coming from the governor William Tryon, who decided to build this opulent, extravagant palace down in New Bern. You may have heard of this palace, and there's no other way to describe it because of the opulence, because of the amount of money it took to finance that operation. So where do you think he got that money? From you, from all of us, through taxation. And it wasn't just the excessive taxation for his extravagant palace. But while here in the colony of North Carolina, we did not have a state church as they did up north in Virginia or farther north up in Massachusetts with the Congregationalists, we did not have a state church, but they still required a vestry tax on every citizen of this colony. And so I go back to these ladies over here, the most prosperous ladies, obviously, in this congregation. You not only would be paying the amount for this pew, but you also would be paying your vestry tax for the pews up at the Anglican church. Now, I ask you, is that right? That you should finance the ministers at the Anglican church? Well, my cousin thought not. And then there was this tax collector. This one Thomas Frohawk, although the colonists had other names for him that we shall not repeat in this meeting house. And he was down in Salisbury, in Rowan County, where we are. This still is Rowan County, is it not? It's not. What is the name of this county? Davidson. Well, I pray tell, it was named after the great hero of the American Revolution, General William Lee Davidson, I would hope. Yes. Do you know? And so he started this terrible taxation, and so my cousin, Benjamin Merrill, he started a group called the Regulators. And the Regulators sought to regulate the excesses of Governor Tryon and his opulence and his extravagance, and to do away with the vestry tax because he was a Baptist and Baptists believe in freedom. And so he started this group. There were regulators all over the state, and some of you may recall that there was a battle that took place in Alamance. In the Battle of Alamance, unfortunately, Governor Tryon came with all of his military might and power, and he stopped the regulators. But that was not enough. He stopped the regulators, and then he sent his men all the way here to Rowan County. Well, it was Rowan County then, all the way here, and they captured my cousin Benjamin Merrill. They took him in chains to Hillsborough, where he and several other regulators were tried and convicted, and they were hanged for treason. But I want you to know, dear friends, and you need to know this, before Colonel Merrill was executed, it is said, I was not there, but I have heard, that he gave testimony of his faith, that he sang hymns. Because you see, Colonel Merrill was a free man. He was in shackles. They were getting ready to take his life, but he was a free man because the gospel tells us in Jesus Christ we can find freedom. We will find the truth, and the truth will set you free. Never, ever lose the memory of Benjamin Merrill. He was a true martyr for the cause of freedom. After his death, people were forced to sign an oath of loyalty to the crown, to the governor. I think most people did that just for protection of their own lives. But then I understand a few years later, when the word came of the great battles in the north, of Lexington and Concord, you have heard of those battles, have you not? that when the news came to a little crossroads here in Rowan County, the citizens of this hamlet decided to take the name of one of those battles, and they named their community Lexington. I hope it's still here today. It was a bold move as patriots believing in freedom. I want to tell you about a journey I had not long ago. I went up north. I went to the colony of Virginia, and I went to the town of Williamsburg. It is in Williamsburg that so many of the leaders have gathered as they start talking about freedom and they start talking about independence. It was there in Williamsburg that I learned that there was only one church, of course. That was the Bruton Parish Church, the official church, the state church, the Church of England. But there were some others. There were Presbyterians. There were Baptists. There were Quakers. They were Methodist, but they were not allowed to have a church. You see, when the government says we are the only church, they can decide who is a church and who is not a church. And so if any of these other organizations would meet, they were not even allowed to call themselves a church. Did you know that? They had to call themselves a meeting house. And when they worshiped, they had to leave the doors of the building open so the sheriff could come and listen and hear if there was any subversive activity taking place. Well, I looked for a Baptist church. And do you know, at first I was told there was not a Baptist church in Williamsburg, and then I learned that that was not true. That there is one Baptist church in Williamsburg, and the minister is a Negro slave. I did not know about this until I went to Williamsburg. His name is Gowan Pamphlet. And Gowan Pamphlet is a slave. He belongs to Mrs. Jane Vobe, who runs a popular tavern in Williamsburg. Some of you may know of it, the King's Arms Tavern. Mrs. Vobe runs this tavern, and apparently she is a very benevolent slave owner. And she decided to let her slaves go to the Bruton Parish Church to worship, where they not only learned to worship, but they learned how to read, and they listened to the people who came into this town, especially Gowan. Because you see, Gowan being at the tavern, he heard all kinds of conversation. You know who frequented this tavern? Well, General George Washington was there. Patrick Henry was there. Randolph Peyton was there. George Wythe was there. Thomas Jefferson was there. James Madison and James Monroe. All of these men who believed in the concept of freedom. And working at Mrs. Vobe's tavern, Gowan learned all about civility and about etiquette. And he learned how to speak properly. And he was a very eloquent man. But while they had gone to the Bruton Parish Church, there was another movement that was taking place. And some of you may remember this. It was a movement that has been called the Great Awakening. Because there were preachers who were coming through. One was a Methodist by the name of George Whitfield. Have you ever heard of Brother Whitfield? And there was another one by the name of Jeremiah Walker. And there were other preachers who came through, and they preached with power, and they preached the gospel, and they preached that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Do you believe that? Amen. But you see, the problem was they were not allowed to preach. There was a black minister. His name was Moses. A black minister by the name of Moses, and he was preaching, and the authorities came, and they took Moses. And they gave him 39 lashes for simply preaching the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are indeed of the Baptist faith, you need to remember that your forefathers, as close as Virginia, were often persecuted. They were thrown into prison. Some were beaten because they simply dared to preach the gospel, because they said you could not preach without a license. And since the Church of England was the official church, in order to gain a license, you had to agree to 34 of the 39 articles of faith in the Anglican Book of Prayer. And do you know what one of those articles of faith is? That King George III is the head of the church. My good book tells me that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Amen? And they would not agree to that. And so many did not have a license. But Mrs. Vobe at the tavern, and she was one of the leading women in Williamsburg, along with Mrs. Christiana Campbell. She also ran a tavern. They were often in competition with one another. But she allowed Gowan to go on Sundays and to preach the gospel. And then in 1776, I don't know if you know much about taverns, but in 1776 at taverns, when there was a proclamation, when there was a book, when there was a pamphlet, it would be read aloud. And there was a pamphlet that was published that year by a gentleman by the name of Thomas Paine. Anybody ever heard of that? He wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense. And in this pamphlet that read like a sermon, he made an intellectual case for freedom and independence from Great Britain and being a free people, not having to be loyal to the crown. This pamphlet was read at King's Arms Tavern, and Gowan heard every word of it, and he was so impressed by that pamphlet. You see, he was a slave. Slaves didn't have last names. His name was only Gowan. But that day, he took a last name. In fact, he took two middle names. From that day on, his name was Gowan Common Sense Pamphlet. And he became the only Baptist preacher. He was the only ordained Negro preacher in all of the colonies. And he started preaching in a Baptist church. And it became the largest Baptist church, and for many years, the only Baptist church in Williamsburg. Ladies and gentlemen, before I take leave, I want to remind you of something. The privilege that we have to come together and worship according to our conscience is something we should never take lightly. Our forefathers, the colonists, did not have this freedom. And I want to remind you of this. It was in 1776 that Thomas Jefferson penned those immortal words in the Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was 1776. The fight for independence, the War of Independence, did not end until September of 1781, after General Washington's victory at Yorktown. It was 6 years later, ladies and gentlemen, before the Constitution was ratified, 1787. But did you know that it was not until December of 1791 that the Bill of Rights to the Constitution became the law of our land that gave us absolute religious freedom? It took that long before we could worship without fear of governmental intrusion. It was Thomas Jefferson, the most eloquent wordsmith of the Revolution, who not only penned that Declaration of Independence that we celebrate once a year, but he also, in fact, this was so important, he put this on his tombstone. He also was the author of the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. And it was Thomas Jefferson who wrote the words, "Almighty God hath created the mind free." As Baptists, we believe in freedom. Jesus Christ has set us free. That is the only true freedom that we will ever know. And I hope and pray that we will guard that freedom,
that we will celebrate that freedom, that we will never let anything come in the way of the freedom that we have in this great land. Because governments come and governments go, but God's truth will always prevail. God's truth will always march on. And one day we will sing, glory, glory, hallelujah, because we have found our home. One more time, Baptists believe in freedom. Thanks be to God.